Ladies and gentlemen, you are now entering the Decent Christian Talk podcast. Enjoy.
Decent Christian Talk, episode number 118. Hey, everybody. I'm Gabe Jones.
I am Josiah.
And this is a show by the fans.
And for the fans.
And we've got a great show for you today.
Wow, that was a smooth entrance. The smoothest we've ever had. We should just ignore it and continue as normal to make it sound cooler.
Okay. Well, you know, hey, we wanted to do this for episode 116, but it didn't work out, so...
We can have this 116 episode part...
That'd be confusing.
Appendix B. But
in honor of episode 116, which is now 118, we have a very special guest today from Reach Records, the queen of Reach Records herself, Wande.
I'm excited about this because I love Wande. I listened to one of her songs on the way here, and it's awesome.
It is. All of her stuff is really great, and this is actually the second time that she's been on the show. We had her on before she was a member of the artist roster. She was already working for Reach Records at the time, but now she is a member of the roster, and we could not be more happy to have her on the show today. But before we get into that, we need to talk about our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. For as low as $1 a month, you can join our team and you can help fund our show. We greatly appreciate all the help that we've gotten over the years. We've got a great episode coming up. This is something that we've never done before, but we are recording this on the 25th anniversary of the release of both Audio Adrenaline's Bloom and Newsboys' Take Me to Your Leader, two of the most iconic albums that were released in the 90s and in the history of Christian music completely. So what we're going to do is Josiah is going to take Audio Adrenaline's Bloom. I'm going to take the Newsboys' Take Me to Your Leader. And we are going to debate which one is better.
We'll just go ahead and let you know that one of us has a college degree and one of us does not. So I'm coming in here with one arm tied
anything?
Behind my back. I'm just letting the people know that Bloom is probably better, but you know bigger words than I do.
That's not necessarily
true. I'm just... We'll find
out. I guess we'll find out. You can find that exclusively on patreon.com/decentchristiantalk. For as low as $1 a month, you can get bonus episodes. All through the pandemic, we've lowered the bonus episode level to $1 for you guys. And we just thank you for all your support. It means a lot to us, especially during a pandemic. I know you guys could be spending money on anything else, but thank you so much for joining us and supporting us. That means a lot. But hey, Wande, I'm so glad to have Wande on the show today. She has been a up-and-coming artist for the last couple of years, and I feel like 2020 for her was clearly head and shoulders her best year as an artist.
She made my top 10 list.
She did. And we are not going to waste any time. Without further ado, here is our interview with Wande.
Hit that horn, babe. Let's dance.
I don't know a whole lot about you. I mean, I've heard your music in the last few years, but I don't really know, like, I know you're from Texas, but I don't know much more than that. Like, can you tell me a little bit about growing up and how you got into where you're at now?
Yeah, so growing up, I was actually born in Nigeria, and then my family came over to the U.S., and so essentially I grew up in Texas. And yeah, it's interesting how I ended up here. Essentially, long story short, in my high school class, I had a biology project, and my teacher gave us the option to do rapping instead of just the usual PowerPoint or poster board situation. And so I chose the rapping option. I found out that I was actually really good at rapping, and I had become saved about a year before that. And so because I realized how powerful the rapping was and how the effect it had on people, I started using it now to like tell people about my faith and stuff. And then,
yeah, we're here. Yeah. Well, like, what were some artists? I know you said you were kind of a baby Christian at the time. Were there any influences at the time that kind of inspired you to go into that?
Yeah, so ironically, like, I never planned on being a rapper. Like, I was trying to be a doctor, so, like, this was, like, not in my life plan at all. But as a fan, I did listen to, like, Reach Records, ironically, who I'm a part of now. But so I used to listen to, like, people like Lecrae and Trip Lee and, like, Andy and stuff like that. And so, yeah, it's pretty crazy how, ironically, I ended up being a part of their group.
So I know you ended up getting into Reach Records, but you didn't start as an artist. Can you talk about, like, what were some of the beginnings in that, and like, how did you hook up with them?
Yeah, so one of the benefits of, like, I guess my age group was, like, that's whenever social media started becoming a thing. And so, yeah, essentially I just took advantage of that. So I used to make YouTube videos when I first started, and I just kind of put myself out there. And then things like Twitter and Instagram started to develop more. So then I started, like, posting my content on there too. And yeah, it just kind of was a process like that of how I, like, kind of built fans and, like, different, like, media publications would post my music and stuff. And then essentially what also happened was my junior year of college, I applied for an internship. And so with my internship, I was able to go to Reach, and I worked for them in their music department and stuff. And so, like, I helped with, like, different things like marketing and all that stuff. And essentially I got hired again. And then once I got hired again, during the time of being hired, Lecrae was like, wait, is Wanya a rapper? And then we were like, yeah. But this is like a behind the scenes thing that I don't even know what's going on. But then he's like, wait, why are we not signing her? And then they were like having like let's watch her for a couple months and like see the development. And then after a while, they were like, okay, yeah, this needs to be a thing. And then that's how I got a contract.
Did you enjoy like being behind the scenes? Like, I know you're involved with the press and a little bit of A&R. Like, did you enjoy that, or were you just kind of itching to take the next step?
Yeah, so for me, I think God took me through a process of realizing, like, you know, when God gives you a vision, like, you don't know the capacity to which it's going to go. So, like, all I knew was God told me to rap. He didn't tell me, like, oh, you're going to be, like, a superstar or something like that, you know? And so for me, I had to just find contentment in that, which is how I was able to work in those roles and have full enjoyment. Because for me, it was still, like, a lot of fun. I got to work for a Christian company and work in hip-hop culture, and, like, I enjoy the business aspect as well. So it was a lot of fun. Of course, like, part of me was like, oh, it'd be great to be an artist, but at the same time, I found contentment knowing that, like, regardless if God makes me have that sort of platform or not, like, I can still find contentment in that. Hmm.
Do you think it was a good experience for you? Because I think a lot of times artists don't get that side of, like, the business side of it. And so do you think that kind of prepared you for where you are now?
Yeah, definitely. It was a great experience. I definitely say it prepared me a lot. I think it prepared me in character and in knowledge. So in character, I think it was cool because God showed me. I almost relate to Joseph a lot in the Bible, but I feel like God showed me, like, the people I'd be working with. And so, and he showed me how to value people, and he showed me, like, all the work that goes into making an artist, you know, be an artist. But then from knowledge also, like, I learned a lot about contracts and, like, just how the actual business works. So then as an artist, I understand, like, if something is, like, standard business, or if I'm getting, like, you know, mistreated, or if it's like, oh, this is a great deal, you should take it, you know. And so
did you like slide a CD in under somebody's desk, or like, what, like, how did they end up finding out? Did someone find you on Instagram? Yeah. Or
so, like, Lecrae told me the story. So while I was working there, it was actually their mission to, like, find a female artist. Like, they were looking, like, oh man, like, why do we not have one? And so, like, they were intently looking. And so Lecrae told me that one day him and Katie, who's the VP of the label, they went on YouTube and, like, they were looking for, like, Christian female artists. And then they stumbled upon my video. And then he was like, Katie, did you know about this? Like, this is Wanda. And then they were like, yeah, we know about it. But, you know, we're just, like, watching. And he was like, this is so good. Like, and so that's essentially how they found out. Like, I never, like, forcibly put my music out there because, like, I just didn't want it to be awkward. And so I was like, you know, they're going to find out eventually if they follow me on Instagram.
That is so cool. Speaking of, like, the lack of women in Christian music and even CHH, like, why do you think that is? I know Reach Records is pretty new. So, I mean, I can see why that hasn't happened. But why do you think that there's been kind of a barrier for women to get into music?
Yeah, I think, well, one, I guess Christian hip hop is relatively new, I guess, because Reach has been around.
Or at least profitable.
Yeah, profitably new. So Reach has been around for like 16-ish years. And so, and like, they're one of the few labels that like actually puts like legitimate money that you can like right. have a job like behind artists. So, and then with that, it's like, there's only so much money we can give out. Like, we have to make smart investments. And so I think, you know, I think it's not necessarily the lack of talent. I think there's a lot of women out there. I think it's just like, it's hard as a company, because of course you want to help everybody, but then you have to be like, okay, to steward our business well, like, who can we sign that will also, you know, make sure that we're profitable? And then just even as a woman, I guess you have to be kind of bold to do this. Like, it's not something that you don't see a lot of women doing. So, you know, luckily God has given me the confidence to go out there and do it. But it is, I mean, it is putting yourself out there. So it is definitely different than the stereotypical, you know, woman life. And so, and it's, yeah, so it's just kind of like a matter of like God just, you know, particularly choosing you. And so it's, I guess it's similar to like ministry, like, there's like a lot of women out there who maybe help with their ministries, but I mean, there's probably like few who are like spearheading ministries per se. And so, I would say it's just like a matter of like, I guess it's God's plan and like what he chooses at the same time with managing business properly.
So with your background in business, what do you think needs to happen for there to be more representation of women?
Yeah, I think, well, one, I guess it's whenever women are given opportunities, just handling it properly. So like, that's one thing where I take my job seriously, I guess. Mm. And so to where it's like, okay, well, if I'm given this opportunity, let me do a good job so that way people don't have a reason to give an excuse as to why they won't do it again. And then so if that excuse is removed, then also with me as well, I try to just give more people opportunities. So if there's ever an opportunity for me to have another woman on a song, I'll try to figure it out and make it work and make sure the song's obviously quality. With my team, a lot of the people on my team are actually women. It's funny because like it was intentional, but not like strict force, like, oh, you have to be a woman. But luckily the way God led it was like a lot of women happen to be really talented. So like my manager, my assistant, my dancers, like we're all women. So it's really cool too, because people, whenever they work with my team, they're like, oh wow, that's crazy. Like, I've never seen so many women like in leadership. And so it's a fun time.
For sure. And I think it's important what you said about quality, and I think CHH, more than any other representation in Christian music, emphasizes quality, and mm-hmm. and I think that's important because, you know, God challenges us to put our best out there, and you did that with your albums last year. You hit it out of the park last year with Exit and The Decision. It's probably a lot of pressure to be on a big label as Reach Records, be the first woman on there, but to actually put out quality music. What was the pressure going into that for you? What did that feel like?
Yeah, I feel like luckily God has just always given me a standard of excellence. And just even growing up, I've had positive reinforcements, like with my school and stuff. We've always just like poured into us and said like, oh, like you're intelligent, like anything you want to do, like you can do it. And so I think I'm really grateful for having like a great support system. So for me, it was just a matter of like, let me represent God well, like let's do this. So for me, it was just like prayer. Like I was like, hey God, like at the end of the day, you're the one who gives the ideas in my brain, like anything that will ever come out of my brain has to come from you. So for me, it was just like a prayer. Like I was just like asking God, like, hey, like bless all the people who are working with me, bless the producers, bless me, you know, let us just figure out something amazing just to put out to the world. And like, even my fans, I said like, hey guys, I'm going to the studio today. If you want to send some prayers, we'll appreciate them. So I think that's one of the biggest things for me, because with a creative field, like it is just like, it didn't exist before and it comes into existence. So it's like, you have to just really send prayers, because that's the only thing, like there's really only so much you can do. You can work on the technical aspects, but the actual creativity, like, it's just a blessing, honestly.
How did you handle all that during, like, a pandemic? Because a lot of times when artists put out their first album, they're like, okay, I can't wait to perform these live. So what was that experience like for you?
Yeah, it was definitely unexpected. Luckily, we finished. Like, we literally wrapped up filming, like, our music video and the cover, like, right before the pandemic was a real thing. Literally, it was, like, probably a week before, like we had literally finished the Happy Music video, and the following week they're like, oh hey guys, like the world shut down. And we're like, oh my goodness. And so I guess the downside, I didn't get to have like an album release party and stuff like that. But I mean, on the bright side, we just like, you know, made the best of it. Like I'm still grateful to even have this type of career in general, so regardless, I was still grateful. And you know, we just took advantage of like virtual things, like we had little Zooms and Instagram lives. And so, yeah, we just figured out just virtual ways to still celebrate and honor what God's done.
And one of the craziest stories that I remember hearing last year was somehow one of your incredible songs showed up on a Michelle Obama playlist. What was your reaction when you heard that? I'm sure you had to have been, could have run a marathon at that point when you heard that.
I was completely shocked. I didn't know. Like, I thought it was like a, because I kept getting sent the picture of the playlist. And so I thought it was like a radio playlist, because I get sent radio playlists a lot. Like, hey, like, this is my DJ playlist of the week. And I was like, oh, that's cool. And then I kept seeing it, and I was like, oh, wait, this is a Michelle Obama. And then I was like, oh, my goodness. And so, yeah, it was pretty wild. I think it's beautiful to see, like, oh, wait, you know, even in, like, high offices of leadership, like, they get to get influenced by Christian music. And so I think it was really cool just to see, like, how far music can travel. And, yeah, it was awesome. It was, like, a, you know, great news to hear as an artist. So I loved it. So.
I was so happy for you when I saw that. That's so cool. So I know the pandemic for a lot of artists has been challenging. But I know for someone like you, you sound like someone that really wants to challenge themselves. What do you think is next for you?
Yeah, so for me, next I'm working on a mixtape. And so actually I would describe it like more stinger heavy than rapping. It's more like melodic type of songs, but this one will be more upbeat, you know, rap songs. And so I'm excited for people to see like that aspect of me and that aspect of my music. And so it's going to be a lot of fun. And then I'm really excited just to like encourage just the community, just to live set apart and just to be unashamed for Jesus. So I'm really excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. And so I've already started and I've been having a lot of fun making the song so far.
Can you tell us if you're going to end up on like Church Clothes 4? Because I know that's...
Oh yeah, you'll definitely see me on Church Clothes 4.
Right. So all right. That'll be a fun time. I can't. Those two mixtapes will be really, really good to listen to. Last few questions before we get out of here. Like, what are some things right now that's on your mind that moves you and inspires you to write music? What are some things right now that you're focusing on?
Yeah, I think for me, like, the biggest word God has given me for the season is to live set apart, and that's been inspiring my music. I think as Christians, sometimes we get scared and or like we're like, oh, how do I like not make people feel uncomfortable and stuff like that. And so we dim ourselves for the world, and I think God has just been showing me like, oh no, you're supposed to be different. Like, people are supposed to look at you and say, why are you different? And then by them noticing that, like, you point them to Jesus. And so God has been giving me the biggest word to inspire my music. Like, hey, it's okay to be different. It's okay to explicitly talk about Jesus in your music and stuff like that, because that's the only way, that's where the power is. Like, if you're just like the world, like, why would they want to be like you? And so God has been showing me that there's power in being unashamed and bold for Jesus, and just to continue to live set apart, because it'll inspire other people to do the same as well.
That was our interview with Wande. Man, there was a lot to unpack there. She kind of broke some news, a lot of news. First of all, she's working on her own mixtape, and that's exciting. I mean, she had such a great 2020. There were some people that actually named her the CHH artist of 2020. That's kind of hard to beat, to be the best artist of 2020 in the genre. And she's trying to already top that. So, and I mean, that was a year that had Lecrae release an album. So that's not, that's nothing to joke around about. I mean, to beat Lecrae, to beat the heavyweight of your label, I mean, that's quite the thing. But I mean, she released an album, she released an EP. Lecrae wasn't featured on Michelle Obama's Spotify playlist the way Wande was. So.
Interesting. I think that it's only up from here. And I'm also excited for songs featuring Wande, if
yes,
that makes sense. Just
yes. The other news that we broke in that interview was that Wande is going to be on Church Clothes 4. Speaking of Lecrae, one of the great series of albums in CHH over the year has been Lecrae's Church Clothes franchise, if you will. And the fourth volume is being worked on as we speak. And one day is going to be on volume four.
And I'm hoping this is just the gateway, her foot in the door, and she's going to kick it open, being featured with Lecrae and just any other musician. I think that she could slide into almost any song and just be absolutely phenomenal. So yeah, if you do want to steal our breaking news, just go ahead and put a little comment that said, Gabe found this out first. I mean, I know that you guys are listening and you don't normally do that, but at Gabe when you drop the news.
We won't name names, but hey, you know, who knows what the future holds for one day. I think great things are coming. And I'm so excited to see what's to come. I mean, maybe she'll have a YouTube series called One Day Vision, maybe. There's an idea.
Interesting. Have you watched that series yet?
I'm actually watching it right now. I'm through like the first two episodes, so I'm still kind of wondering what it is.
I've been recommended that show so many times. I watched the trailer for it whenever it came out, and I thought, man, that looks dumb. And now people are like, this show is great.
It's unique, that's for sure.
Okay, so I'll give it a look. It's just going to be hard to beat Ted Lasso.
Yeah, for sure. Before we sign off, we would not be doing our jobs if we did not make some kind of commentary on the passing of Carmen. Carmen has been an artist in Christian music since, man, I think his first album came out in like 1979. So he's been around for a long time. And, you know, sometimes he's been looked at as a heavyweight of artists. Sometimes he's been the punchline of artists. You know, like the Nashville CCM industry a lot of times made fun of his stuff. But truth be told, there was not a better storyteller in music. There was not a better entertainer. There was not, I mean, if you followed his music, there was not, you could tell that he really emphasized creativity, and he wanted to put stuff out when it comes to like music videos and live shows that rivaled anybody out there, mainstream or Christian. And he blew he blew a lot of that so much out of the water. And the thing that I always took away from him was the way that he could put a story to music. A lot of times it was spoken word, but a lot of times it was singing too. But I don't think anybody did it better than him.
No, and like you said, he just thinking of his music videos, he blew everyone in the Christian music industry out of the water. Like he was putting out Michael Jackson type music videos, not dancing. Well, I mean, he danced in Riot, I guess, but he made movies. And I mean, like you said, some people may have called them corny, but I thought they were very good.
Yeah.
I don't know if he still has the largest ever Christian music concert in the history of Christian music, but he filled up a few stadiums
on his own. Like he didn't have anybody touring. There wasn't Billy Graham speaking, and it was just him.
But I'd have to look that up, but I know he held the record for a while.
Yeah.
I know I answered an altar call when I was 4 years old to give my life to Jesus. Now, I don't know if I knew what I don't know if I fully understood what that meant at that point.
Yeah.
I do now that I'm older, but I that was my first ever encounter of, hey, I'm giving my life to Jesus. And it was an altar call at a Carmen concert. My favorite song, I listen to it every Easter, and I listen to it with your son every Easter now, is The Champion.
Yeah.
And I remember the first time that Judah and I listened to it together. Of course, Judah's very animated, but like when the devil's talking, Judah's like, oh no. And he'll make the little crying face. And then when Jesus is winning, he's like, yes. And that he's going back and forth, just like it's a football game. And that
boxing match.
Judah is not very one. It's hard to get his attention. And during that whole song, he was very attentive. he knew everything that was going on. He understood it, which is something that speaks to Carmen can tell a story that even a kid can understand. And so,
you know,
it's very, very sad, but his legacy will live on.
Yeah. And you know, there's something to say about why artists like NF are popular. You know, he just released a song. But NF is also very good at storytelling, and that's the reason why he's so popular in my mind. Like, there's so many stories that he tells through his music that tugs at people's heartstrings, and people can relate to them. And Carmen did the exact same thing, and it was obviously a different format, but it, in the same way, storytelling is something that I think is a lost art within music, and I don't think anybody in Christian music did it better than Carmen.
And to your point, like, NF is telling stories, and he's still, I don't know if he's still the number one trending YouTube video in the whole world, but
yeah, we may talk about that on the bonus episode.
I just think, I don't know, like you said, it's a lost art. And if you don't know who Carmen is, go look him up. And if you're one of the people that kind of chuckles at some of the things that he did that was corny, kind of go back and reflect. And I mean, there are some things that still may be corny, but listen to what he's saying. I know, what's the name of the song? We Need God in America Again.
Yeah, America Again, yeah.
And that song just becomes more and more relevant every single year, every single time I hear it. So it just, we had the pleasure of meeting Carmen once upon a time and talk a little UFC with him, which is almost comical just thinking of Carmen, but he's also a big fight fan, and it just,
yes.
I don't know, he was, that was a cool moment for me.
Yeah, and I might even tell a Carmen story on the bonus episode, so stay tuned for that. Again, thank you, Wande, for joining us on this episode. I'm very excited to hear what's to come for her, and thank you guys for checking this out. If you know anybody that is in the Wande or is in the CHH, I would encourage you to share this episode with them. That's our absolute favorite thing that you guys do. It's even better than supporting us financially. It's when you guys share it. That means a lot to us. We're going to head off into the sunset. You can check us out again on patreon.com/decentchristiantalk for the bonus episode. We're going to be debating which album is better, Audio Adrenaline's Bloom or Newsboys Take Me to Your Leader. They both just turned 25 years old. It's hard to believe. Twitter, we're on Twitter, DC Talk Act 2. We are on Facebook. We have a page and a group, and both of those are fun places to interact with each other. We're also on Instagram, DC Talk Podcast, and we also have a website, decentchristiantalk.com. Thank you guys so much for checking us out. We will catch you next time.
Don't forget to leave the credits in the comment below in your breaking news, and don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.
Peace.
Don't forget to tip your waiters and waitresses. Thanks.